This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie. And I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. I always say in your life. Why do I do that?
I don't know. You just do.
I do. I feel like I'm getting married right now. I do. And I can't manage your life without the beautiful woman sitting across from me, much better looking than she was last week.
Thank you. That's very sweet. I tried this week.
You were really upset about how I described you last week, so you made sure that you dressed up
for
me.
That's right. That's the only reason why.
Are those fake eyelashes?
Oh, yeah. Fake pretty much everything.
Wow. Every time you blink, I'm getting a
shadow?
No, I'm being tickled, and you're 10 feet away from me.
No, they're nice.
Ridiculous.
Fake lashes and makeup, you know.
How about your eyebrows? Are they fake, too?
They actually are. They're not tattooed in. They're, what are they called? Microbladed.
Microblade,
a little bit, yeah. But it's pretty much faded now. But yeah,
no, they look good. They're really
not bad,
thick.
Not bad.
You can't even see your forehead.
You're such an ass.
Well, you got all your hair, so that's good. I don't want to say that you're bald, but you know, so that's the deal here. We got a crazy show today. You know, we are a law show, but later on the show we have an attorney. Her name is Lisa Houlet, and she's going to talk about sexting. She has a program called Before You Push Send, and she talks about what people, especially teenagers and tweens, should know about the ramification of sexting and what can happen with respect to college admissions and other jobs.
Yeah. And I've actually had a couple friends that I know get ruined.
Really?
Literally, they ruined their lives because they either dated somebody that they said was too young. And they were only just a few years older. And they are now, one of them is a registered sex offender because he dated somebody who was younger and the parents didn't like him. And this guy is a good dude.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it. He's like, it ruined my entire life. My entire life.
Well, I can imagine that it would. And I don't know why people are so stupid to do that. Are you a sexter?
No, I've never been in that. I don't understand how can send nudies and all those kind
nudies.
Of yeah little nudies
called?
Whatever I mean I can't
parts
say
of
what
your
they
body.
Are
parts
yeah
of
I can't
your
say
body.
Because it's you know
naked parts of your body
blank pics you know what they call them blank pics and
no I don't
well I'm not going to say it on the air so and they'd probably be fine but I have a friend who gets sent them all the time and I say why would you even date somebody who would take a picture of their genitalia and send it to you. Like, this isn't like you've been married or you've been dating a year or two. And even then, I don't understand it. But somebody who's trying to get a date with you and here comes their genitals.
Well, maybe that turns you on.
Who?
What, you speak for everyone in the world?
I'm speaking for women. I don't know many
women.
I don't, yeah, men, their aesthetic.
There are as many horny women as there are men.
Look, most of my girlfriends, I don't know one girlfriend who's actually gotten one of these D-pics and gone, oh, I can't wait to go out with this guy. I've never heard it.
Well, maybe it's used for masturbation.
I hear laughing. I hear this is disgusting. I see like delete. I mean, I don't know many
what
women
do
that like those.
What do you think about women who get the picture and then they share it with all their friends?
I mean,
like forward it.
I've seen that happen too. And I don't understand. Look, there are actors. My friend dates high-profile actor. And there's one
that keeps...
No, I'm just telling you. There's one that, if this got out, he'd look like such a fool.
If what got out?
His D-pic.
Out of his
pants? Look like, he has actually... I mean, this is an A-list star sending my friend a D-pic. And
can you
I'm
tell
like,
me
what?
Who it is?
I will. No way.
It's an A-list star.
It's an A-list star, and she has tons of his D pics. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, this guy, I mean, he's not embarrassed. He's not worried that this is gonna go all over the place. And if he's sending it to you, he is sending it to other women. Well, he turned out to be a D bag, so.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. That was yeah. You're really passionate about this. So this really isn't part of my life, but I'm sure it is.
No,
for
it's
a lot
not.
Of people.
I've never been involved with this at all.
But I do have two young kids, and I get concerned about the future, the world that we live in, and the people and the kids and the pressures and what people do for fun and for giggles. And
can I ask out there if there's any women that actually like to get
do you want
nudes?
To call maybe they can call because yeah. Folks, if you haven't figured this out yet, if you haven't figured it out, you think we're really just talking about this. We are kind, what do they call it in show business when you're stretching because your guest
isn't
here?
But you know what's
here?
So funny is if you would never say that. No, you do this all the time when our guests are late. You are you crack
no
me
I
up.
Can't stand these guests. I hate them. Why do we have guests on this show? They're so irresponsible. All I care about in life is follow rules, be a good person. My undergraduate degree is in ethics.
Yes.
And moral philosophy. You say you're going to be somewhere, be there.
Yeah, but you know what's is I find that people get upset with people who are late when they're late all the time. I've noticed that. Yeah. And so when I'm not late, usually I'm not a late person. So when somebody's late, I'm like, ah, it's fine. It's okay.
I'm not into it. 800-222-5222.
So if you're, yeah.
800. Don't interrupt while I'm saying
this. I'm sorry.
The
I was going to
And I'm
give
doing it with such great resonance in my voice. 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. And our guest is here.
Yay!
That is so exciting. We can talk about sexting later, but we do have our first guest. So sexting will be the second part of the show. First part of the show is Julia Sharp. I love this guy. He is so funny. From writer producer, and he's known for Dad's Making History. He was behind that show. Family Guy, the Cleveland Show, The Grinder. A lot of these very funny shows that he's been involved with as a writer producer. And he's fresh off an appearance on the Carson Daly Show. And he wrote a book. It's very important. One of the most important books that we've had on this legal program, because we've done a lot of studies and interpretations of the law. This is called So You're Going Bald. That's the book, So You're Going Bald. It came out about a month and a half ago, got great reviews, and this is something in this legal show that we really need to talk about. We haven't talked about, we've had some of the most preeminent legal scholars in the country, some of the greatest lawyers ever to walk on this earth, and today we're talking to Julia Sharp about his book, So You're Going Bald. Julius, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. What an introduction. I mean, so many great legal minds are bald.
That's true.
There you go.
That's true.
Boy, you know, you are like the chief judge of baldness. And as such, I got to ask you, tell us about the most important laws about baldness as found in So You're Going Bald.
Well, I mean, I think there's two things to address. One is that, like, I don't believe that traditional laws should apply to bald people because I think the world is so disadvantaged against us that, you know, in the book, I talk about things about how we should all be allowed one murder because of all the injustices that come in our direction.
Yes.
And to deter people from these injustices, you give us a murder. People don't know whether we've used our murder or not. So they have to treat us better.
Oh, man.
With respect.
With respect.
Wait
so,
a second, but, Julius. Are you a lawyer? The way you speak, you're like presenting your case in court about baldness. It's very important here.
I was a national high school debate champion about in 1995, which is not the same as being a lawyer.
No, it isn't. But the key question is, did you have hair when you were the debate champion?
Oh, yeah, when anything went well for me, I had hair.
So you would not have been that debate champion if you had been bald.
That's right. Because I think, you know, debates rely on judges, and judges tend to vote against bald people, especially if they're bald themselves. Bald on bald sort of injustice.
I have
One of the greatest injustices.
I have gone out with two bald guys. I think they're so sexy. I don't know what. Yes, I'm
Wait
telling you.
Wait a second here, Carrie.
Yes. You're
blowing
men.
It for Julius. His book is So You're Going Bald. It's so important. And you know what I love about one of the principles, and you may love bald guys, but one of the things that he talks about is you have to distract people. He talks about getting a personality. And you know, I had a friend come over to my house this morning. He has no personality. I was so bored. I couldn't wait for him to leave. And it's so important. If he would have been bald, maybe he would have found a personality and I would have enjoyed being with him.
That's horrible.
Julius?
That's horrible.
Yeah, so important for anyone bald to like just, you know, buy a Segway, take up skateboarding, grow a weird mustache, buy a tiny pony and lead it around by the bridle, get really into wine tasting and just start listing, you know, things you think wines taste like. You really need to pull out every quirk, every stop to just give anyone any reason to talk to you.
Now, Julius, you have some bizarre glasses. Is that part of the bald thing?
Yeah, I mean, I personally own 12 different pairs of glasses because, it's anything to distract from the top of my head. So, like, you know, I own some bizarre sunglasses. I own some super thick horn rims, some little wire ones that make me look like an architect. I'm always adopting a different persona every time I leave the house. None of them have yet to work, but the important thing for bald people is try.
Yeah, you know, we have to take a quick break, during the break, I'm watching I'm a big Toronto Raptors fan, so I'm watching the basketball game, and one of the most well-known chrome domes, Charles Barkley's on, and I'm while you're talking about being bald, and he's about as bald as they get, I'm enjoying watching the halftime show, but I'm going to turn my attention to you, Julius, because, I think you are more preeminent as a bald guy than Charles Barkley, even though he has a lot to say and he's distracting just by his own words. We have to take a break. You're listening to Gervie's Law. This is a legal show. We're talking baldness. The book is called So You're Going Bald. You got to get it. It's hilarious. I'm Alan Gervie. She's Carrie Kasem. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I'm too sexy for your party, too sexy for your party.
Yeah.
I'm disco dancing.
And that guy was bald. Remember Right Said Fred?
I do, actually.
Yeah, that
very
guy's
tall.
So sexy. So sexy. Do you know that 40 million people are either bald or balding in America? I think it's supposed to say men, but I concluded people. It's a lot of bald.
You know,
going on.
I was balding, and this is no joke. Twice this has happened to me in my life where my hair has fallen out. Yeah, where my hair's falling out. Yeah, and it's traumatic. It's traumatic. I can't imagine losing all my hair, but I had these big bald spots in my head, and I couldn't. It was horrific. So.
Let's ask Julia.
Yeah.
Julia Sharp is the author of the book So You're Going Bald. It's a HarperCollins book. That's amazing that HarperCollins did this. I mean, they're so reputable. That gives you a lot of credibility there. And what Carrie's talking about, you talk about in the book the three stages of going bald. And I think for women, it's probably very traumatic. As men, it's kind of accepted, I would think.
I would think it's hard on men too, but not as bad. But it is bad. I think losing your hair, it's losing a part of yourself. I don't know.
I think it's everyone's first preview of death, kind of. Like, oh, well, this body's not going to last very long. It's already failing. You know, for me, you know, when you're 25 and you're like, wait, stuff like this isn't supposed to happen at this age.
I mean, they have Propecia. They have Propecia. They have those like pills that nobody's supposed to touch and pregnant women can't be around. You know?
Yeah.
There's some hope.
And I go into this in a book. I think those do work for some people. There are sort of precautions about they can have erectile effects and such.
Yes. You walk around with an erection your whole life.
Or have no erection ever again.
No, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
That's the sort of way you want to have hair and no erection, or erections and no hair. And I recommend the latter path.
Yeah.
Because
or hairy erections.
If you have no erections, what good is the hair, really?
Like,
absolutely.
So true.
Not
so true.
Absolutely. You know,
oh my God.
I just, you know, when you talk about this, and the traumatic effect. Now, you call it your 9/11, and how difficult the trauma. And I know you're not underestimating that. It's been traumatic for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it took really years to go through. And I, you know, as much humor as I, you know, try to talk about this with and write about it with, I don't want to undercut what for some people is a real depressive spiral. And I think that's what the audience of this book will relate to, is that you're kind of in private. People get into this cycle of like analyzing their own head in the mirror for hours and hours and hours at a time. And just sort of wondering like what is going to happen to you and what is happening to you. And, you know, I think it's something that's hard to talk about. I even find, you know, even having this book that, you know, I'm hearing stories about people walking into a bookstore and seeing, you know, a bald clerk and saying, "Hey, I'm looking for So You're Going Bald, this book." And then the clerk kind of gets angry at them as though it's a personal insult.
Well, I think they giggle. I mean, it's like buying condoms almost.
Yeah, there's still, it's one of these last few things that I think no one almost wants to address in a real way.
But haven't you found that certain men actually like it? This one guy that I did date, he had all these scars on the back of his head because he had done those hair transplants. And it took him a while to tell me what those scars were, the little lines, the straight lines across. And and he looks better now than when I knew him with hair. He looks so much. I actually wasn't attracted to him when he had hair. When I saw him bald, it was like a couple years later, I thought he was the sexiest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And now he likes it. Do you ever find men that once they went bald actually looked better and felt better?
I mean, first, that speaks so well of you and just your magnanimity and your personal taste. But I think that what happens is you sort of grow personally into the body you have. And that, you know, like you, it's like you ever get a new shirt, right? And the first time you wear the shirt, it feels weird. But then, you know, the fourth time you wear the shirt, all of a sudden you're inhabiting the shirt in a different way. And I think that's what happens with your head, that you sort of become your personality. Like there's a mind body thing where it melds with your looks.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, like now when I wear a toupee or something, people think I look insane.
I have friends who do that. I have a comedian friend that's funny, older man, and he has his little toupee that he wears. It's not even, it's one of those stick-on ones, so it's very thin hair that goes with the rest of it.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic either way, with or without it. But and then another guy convinced to shave the rest of his hair off because he had one of those where the sides were all filled in but not the top. And a young guy, and I said, "Shave it off, you'll look better."
Yeah.
That was 10 years ago, and he has still kept the look. So I think, go ahead.
The worst look is balding. The worst look is the transition.
Yeah.
And so I think people either have to go like full toupee or shave.
Yes.
Because
and you're not a fan
middle
of
middle ground.
You're not a fan of comb overs, I imagine.
No, although in the book there is, I do recommend a way, what I used for about 5 years. It's this faux hawk, which instead of growing one side long and brushing it over, I grew both sides long, the back long, and then swirled everything together
no
on the
way.
Top.
Yeah, that's
like
so
a
cool.
Mohawk.
I've never seen
and
that.
It worked.
But you get too old for that at some point.
Yeah, when I was when I hit about 35, then it just started falling apart.
Yeah.
But it bought me 2 more years, of which were, you know, active dating years. So that was nice.
Yeah, that's good. I'm sure it suited you well. Now, what about some of these, you know, cure-alls, the Bosley method and all kinds of creams and things? Are they just money-making devices? I'm only asking you because you are the self-proclaimed leading authority on baldness, so you would have opinions on this. There's so many people spending so much money on it, but what the heck? They don't work, do they?
I mean, I think everything works to some extent, but not to the extent you want, because no one wants to just look sort of a previous stage of baldness that they were in, which is what happens. Like, it essentially kicks you up to one level of baldness prior to where you were. And so nothing except a toupee really gives you that authentic look of hair, you know, or transplant if you're lucky enough to have enough donor plugs. So for me, they weren't a solution, but I understand why people do them to buy, because it's a time buying maneuver.
I'll tell you what works. I'll tell you what works because I used it. There was a PRP, platelet-rich plasma, where they spin your blood, they grab the plasma, and then they take these long needles and put it in your scalp. It's the most painful. It was horrible. It was horrible. But when I was going, like, bald, when I was losing my hair, I would do anything. It didn't matter. I'm like, I stick those long needles anywhere you want as long as it grows my hair back. And I've seen it work on some men, and I've seen men do it over and over again and not work at all. But it did work for me. A couple things did work for me. And then there was... a couple shampoos that I thought that probably helped.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it did. I'm telling you, all these things together.
Julius,
yeah,
I need a
thicken your hair, but they don't grow it. Like,
that's right.
So, essentially, I went bald in a little bit of an earlier era. I'm a bit of an older guy. I'm 46. And so Rogaine and that stuff had just become non-prescription once I really was bald. And so I didn't have enough to play with that the enhancement helped. I was already too bald. I think if you start real early with those things,
it might help.
They can delay it for a long. The earlier you start, the better success you're going to have. And so for the people who need it the most, like me, the baldest, they're the least effective.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend once, and it was funny because she wasn't the brightest girl in the world, but she came out of the shower and she'd seen some shampoo that I had, and it said for thinning hair. And she came out to me and she said, "I have a question. Why do you want thinning hair?"
No, she didn't. You are full of it. No.
Yes, she did. She did. And that was the point that I realized that maybe she wasn't the right girl
for me.
She
had to go.
Yeah. So, you know, it's something that it's so omnipresent, the whole issue. And this book is so amazing because it addresses something that people have not really talked about. And you've had the guts, you know, you've been such a successful writer and producer, comedian, you know, all of the funny stuff that you've done, and you're able to combine it in a very, very important topic.
Well, thanks, because I mean, while it sounds, as a humor writer, it sounds kind of silly to open up and say, but as I was writing it, I cried so many times for real, because I think I started out thinking I'm going to write this funny book, and I hope I've at least achieved that somewhat. But as I got into it, especially toward the end, where I got a little more honest about how I felt and what happened to me, and there were sort of, you know, about 8 years where I really just was in denial, and then followed by this crazy anger over what was happening to me, because I knew I was just being judged on this thing that was beyond my control.
Yeah. So were you wearing a lot of hats, or are you against hats?
I mean, I love hats. Again, anything to distract from my head. But increasingly now, I'm married and I have two kids, so I'm able to give up a little bit and not be sort of concerned about it as I was.
But, do you ever worry, Julius, that, you know, your kids will see you differently? Because as we're getting older, obviously, some of us lose our hair, and you kind of want your kids to see you, you know, with that. You had a lot of long hair and, you know, a cool dude.
Oh, yeah.
And then now you're just like daddy.
Well, it's funny because my 3-year-old is just starting to be aware that I'm bald, and she's sort of asked, "Daddy, why are you bald?" And I think this is my next children's book of why Daddy's bald.
Oh, I think that's
great.
Awesome, actually.
Please write that book.
That would actually be really great. I've never seen one.
Yeah. But, you know, it's something because I have a 5-year-old daughter. And what's amazing about it, she's the only person in the world who doesn't judge me. She just loves me for who I am. And so if I, you know, I have some hair, but if I didn't, I know that little Harper wouldn't care.
No, she wouldn't care.
Yeah, I mean, one of my kids is 8, so that's finally starting to change. Now she is starting to judge me.
Oh, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Yeah, enjoy it for as long as you can, the non-judgment.
Yeah. I mean, you could shave it all off and look like a fighter, you know? You could, like, even take the beard off if you still got that. Just shave everything off and just, like, go for it.
I mean, I've done that, and I call that sort of going direct, you know, like coming out of the Matrix.
Yeah.
I mean, you're then, you know, you're no longer in the illusion, and then you're just sort of confronting baldness on its own terms. Yeah. I recommend everyone do it at least once.
Yeah, you know.
But then, you know, you start to look sort of like a tampon applicator, and it's, you know, then
not a bad thing.
I think it's hot.
Some people are like so ugly that that's like an improvement. But here's the thing that, you know, just from hearing you, when you have come to grips with it and you've got this mature, you've developed your identity, everything is really good about it. I don't think you should go backwards and start, you know, Carrie's giving you some suggestions, everything, but you've come to grips with it. You know who you are. You're a better person for it. You're probably much better as a human being than these people with all these hair. Like, look at these 75-year-old rock stars, you know, Mick Jagger, whoever, with all this hair. It's like, give me a break. Why don't you just be bald and be your age and figure out who you are and appreciate yourself for who you are, not for your hair.
I think it makes you
more empathetic, because if you're going out in the world and saying, look, I know this is suboptimal, this is something I view as wrong with me, and if you overlook it, it invites, you know, you to overlook maybe what other people are fearing that they're being judged about. And
exactly.
I think it's this mutual vulnerability, I think, is a nice bridge that actually does enhance your life. And that's sort of one of my conclusions of the book, is it made me realize, if I'm this scared about this, maybe that person is this scared about something else, you know, their weight or whatever, and that I can really help them with their experience by, you know, treating them as I like to be treated.
Right.
Whereas before I was just kind of an arrogant ass.
Well, that's, you know, those are words of wisdom. Yeah. And you know, you got to get the book. It's called So You're Going Bald. It's what, on Amazon and all the bookstores. Anyone can get it anywhere. HarperCollins book's going to be everywhere.
So, it is everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, it's a great read. And you made such a good point, because you really do need to extrapolate on this to other issues to make you feel good. It's a feel good book that you get to laugh a lot along the way. So that's a great formula. Julia Sharp, I want to thank you so much for being on Gervie's Law today.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I really enjoy the show and love talk.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Yeah. All right. We got to take a break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Need a new perspective on law and life? Call Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah. Carrie is getting down.
That's right.
I'm watching the basketball game. She's dancing in the studio.
It's a good song, Wayman. Thank you.
So you really think I should shave my head, huh?
I mean, you're not really going bald, so I wouldn't say you have to, but I think it's freeing. I've always wanted to shave my head.
It's freeing.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Well, but I'll tell you something. When guys have that hair on the side, and sometimes it just looks better wiped completely clean, and they look great bald.
I love that hair on the side. I could be like Bozo the Clown.
Oh, my God. Well, you would be, because your hair's curly.
Well, usually I wear a little red nose, so
that
helps.
I've seen that. Especially, at the office, I walk in and I don't understand it, but maybe it's because it makes people feel comfortable.
I love the big floppy shoes.
Yeah, I've seen those, too.
It goes well with my baldness.
I don't understand, though, the yellow polka-dotted pants that you wear around the office. It doesn't...
Those are underwear.
Oh, okay.
My kids, unfortunately, have discovered this silly joke where they say, look under there, and I go, underwear. And they walk around all day long saying, look under there, and I'm going, underwear. So, and they laugh. They love it. Well, let's, speaking of underwear, let's turn to a more important subject, because sometimes I know people take pictures of underwear, wearing underwear, and they...
Or no underwear.
Yeah. And that's where they get in trouble. And when I say people, it's kids and teens and tweens. And it's a big, huge problem with my kids only being 5 and 6. I really get nervous about this moving forward. And I know our next guest has a couple of boys, and they're getting into that age where it becomes a concern for all parents. And we want to welcome to the show Lisa Houlet, who is a defense attorney, criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor, trial attorney, and she specializes in a lot of the sexual crimes, and sexting is what we're going to talk about today. Developed this great program called Before You Push Send, something that all parents and kids should be aware of, because there are so many ramifications. Not only that it may be distasteful, but legally speaking, we're going to get it right from the authority. Lisa, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
It's so great to have you here. It's such an important subject. And like I said, as a parent of kids that are getting into that age group, you get very nervous. How did you get involved in sex? And I don't want to say how did you get involved in sexting. That's not right. But, you know, I know you were a prosecutor and you loved what you did as a prosecutor. And then all of a sudden you switch sides and you're protecting people's rights.
Yes. Yes, that's absolutely correct. So I was a former L.A. County prosecutor for 15 years. I specialized mostly in sex crimes and domestic violence prosecution at the time. And now as a defense attorney, I focus on those types of crimes, which is why this subject has come up and has become near and dear to my heart. So this all started about a year ago when I started to see a pattern of these cases that were coming to me with teens sexting with other teens and having absolutely no clue that what they were doing was illegal and could lead to very serious consequences. So, you know, I'm asking myself at the time, like, how is this happening? Why is this happening? Where are the parents? Why do the parents not know that this is going on? And then what is driving the teens to do this? And where is the person to send the message to them that, hold on, this might not be the best decision?
Now, go ahead. I was going to say that these are really important questions.
Absolutely.
And before you start, maybe, Carrie, you can help me out with this, because when I was driving into the show today, I was talking to my mom, and, you know, I mentioned we're going to talk about sexting, and she said, you know, texting? And I said, no, sexting. She said, can you be more specific? So, Carrie, I'm going to ask you, please.
Yeah, is your mom listening?
Yes, she is.
Oh, okay.
So explain it for people who may not be aware of what's
going on. Oh, come on.
And Lisa, feel free to jump
in. I'm going to let Lisa explain that, because I think most people know what sexting is, except mommy in Canada. But for me, when you said it's illegal, now, is it illegal just to send naked photos because you're underage? Is it illegal because somebody might be 18 or 19 sending them to a 15 or 16-year-old? What makes it illegal?
Okay, so let me be very, very clear.
And explain what sexting is. Yes.
Okay, so sexting.
Because I'm not doing it. I am not doing it.
Carrie, you just said sending naked pictures.
Okay, so that's one form of sexting. And then there's also just sending, you know, raunchy naked videos, or just sending a sexually explicit message to another person. That can constitute sexting. And, you know, sexting between adults, perfectly legal, with certain exceptions, perfectly legal.
Stupid.
Well, yes, very. Yeah, pretty stupid. I mean, pretty stupid.
I mean, if they
in this day and age.
When we talk about it, and I know you deal a lot with revenge porn and some of the other forms of, you know, shame, slut shaming and other things where if it gets out, you may be involved with someone. And Carrie, you know, when you have a relationship and then all of a sudden it's over and these things as adults get out into the public, yikes.
Oh, you have no idea. I did have a case in this past year where a young woman, adult, had been in a relationship with an adult man for several years. They had a long kind of on-again, off-again relationship. And in the course of the relationship, they had engaged in a lot of photographs and videos. Mm. And I mean, we're talking a pretty substantial sum. And when the relationship went south and she wasn't interested in, you know, getting married, he put all the videos and all the photographs out on the internet. Oh, wait. And those photographs and videos ended up getting shared and reshared. And now she is all over the world, literally all over the world. And it is pretty much impossible to get all those photographs and videos back. You cannot get them back.
No, it sounds impossible because everybody is resharing and downloading, resharing, how you can't really do that. Now, what was her in her mind that made it okay? This is what I don't understand about people who do this. Now, maybe if you're married for a very long time, but even then it's like this could get out and destroy you. What goes through people's minds to let it? What was her excuse? Why did she say this was okay?
Who did you represent, by the way?
I represented her. So this was in a restraining order case where we were trying to get her some sort of, you know, help to stop him from doing this.
Sure.
And, you know, honestly, I don't know that a lot goes through the person's mind when they choose to do this. I think they are truly in the moment. I think they are trying to make their, you know, their partner happy, to please them. And I don't think that she ever thought that it would get to this place.
That he would be that evil.
That he would
and
be.
And put it everywhere.
So evil. I mean.
It is evil.
Yes, it is.
I mean, her reputation is, you know, completely destroyed if people see those. She's a professional and it's like your worst nightmare. But I wanted to get back to the question that you were asking.
Is he in jail?
He is not in jail. No, he's not. But he is subject to a restraining order.
Which is
big deal.
But that's it. Now, wait, in a defamation suit, if you can show monetary loss, then you have to pay a lot. Please say you're doing
right. Well, and there's also a civil claim for basically revenge pornography. So I don't handle civil cases, but I, you know, refer those types of cases out to civil attorneys who can litigate those claims.
Okay.
And she absolutely deserves compensation.
Yes.
This was a horrific incident to go through. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
All right. Answer the question.
So
now I'm going to answer.
What makes it illegal when we're talking about teens, with teens or between teens or a teen maybe sending something to an adult? It is that factor of it being a teen. So when you have underage people engaging in this activity, you will absolutely trigger child pornography laws, possession, distribution, manufacturing.
Even a kid doing it with a kid.
A kid doing it with a kid. Absolutely. This case that I was involved in this past year, a ninth grade boy at a school that will remain unnamed was asking for and receiving photographs, naked photographs, from multiple girls at the high school.
And receiving them.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And so finally, one of them reported it because I think her mother ended up seeing, you know, that she had sent these photos and had gotten some photos back from him. Otherwise, nobody would have known. And then maybe there would have been a dozen girls, maybe 20 girls. Maybe it just would have continued on and on and on. But what I found was he certainly didn't appreciate that what he was doing was illegal at all. No clue.
He was just having fun.
Just having fun. And it got a little bit more egregious because, you know, when he received them, what boy is going to keep that to himself?
Right.
Of course, the first thing they're going to do,
share it.
Turn around and share it.
Yeah.
And so let's say you're on a sports team.
Oh.
Who are you going to share it with? The whole team. And that's how these stories play out. I can tell you another story, horrifying.
Do we have to take a break? Because I just want to know about what happened to that kid. What were the consequences of his actions?
Okay, why don't we talk about that real quick, then we'll take the break.
Or we can leave it as a teaser.
No, the teaser is going to be, you know, before you push send, we want to talk about that.
All right.
So let's finish this one up. Because we'll get distracted and talk about six other things and never get
your
questions
answered.
People
will hang on for this one, I'm telling you. They'll hang on through that break to hear what happened to that kid.
What do you think? Okay, we're going to take...
See? I got Wayman's agreement.
Wayman?
Yeah.
Renee's agreement. Everyone's agreeing.
It's a good tease.
We are taking a break, and you really want to hear what Lisa Houlet talks about when we come back, because she's going to say what happened to that teen. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
So I'm just sitting in this rehab class, trying to get myself unhooked on ass. So then my teacher asked me a question. Like,
yeah.
Chris, are you over there sexting? OMG, LOL, KIT, smiling.
Say that again. Are you over there sexting?
Chris, are you over there sexting?
I like when you say that. Yeah, we're talking about sexting. We have Lisa Houlet here. She's got a firm in Manhattan Beach, and she is a criminal defense attorney featured in USA Today, KTLA, CBC News, one of my favorites, ABC, LA Times, and her program is Before You Push Send and Sext Education for Parents. Sext Education for Parents.
Yeah.
If you were listening before the break, I know you are all waiting with bated breath. Because Carrie had a question for Lisa.
That's right. I wanted to know what happened to the ninth grade boy that got caught with all the naked pictures of his classmates.
Exactly. So he didn't get off scot-free. Let me start by saying that. This is a very serious issue. But on the other hand, you know, the prosecutors in cases like this don't want to ruin a ninth grader's life over what was a really dumb decision, for sure, and hurt a lot of people. So he's had a really long year of going through a process of counseling and understanding what he did and how it hurt a lot of people, and trying to understand for himself how he went down this path. And I think it was also important to help his parents understand that this was going on, and you know, that they need to be more aware of what their kids are doing, because that I see as one of the main issues. If parents don't understand this is happening, it's like, you know, drugs when we were growing up, you know, anti-drug use campaigns. Mm-hmm. If parents weren't aware that there was a problem, they wouldn't understand the need to educate the kids.
Exactly.
Right.
So now I personally am trying to drive this point home as much as I can, and to whoever will listen, because it's going on and we need to open up our eyes.
You know, I want to talk about that in a minute because it's so important. That's really the message and why you are doing such great work. Very few people are focusing attention on that, especially someone with the credentials of a criminal defense attorney. But when you talk about victims, that's where the long-lasting damage can occur.
Oh, 100%.
And tell us about the Amanda Todd case, because that's probably the worst of all fears related to this.
It is absolutely every parent's worst fear, and Amanda's mother's, you know, nightmare come true. This case happened in 2012. Amanda was 15 when she committed suicide, but it all came about from one night, a topless flash on a webcam to a stranger thousands of miles away, who she had no idea was screenshotting the image and then sharing it with other men, just, you know, whoever wanted to see it. And what followed was a series of what I call sextortion. This is a concept that's used when talking about these types of cases, where he then says to her, if you don't send me more, I will put this out all over the internet.
Wow.
Which he did. It's horrible. Can you imagine this young girl? And, you know, she couldn't tell anybody. What is she going to say? Oh, mom, I flashed my breast to a stranger who I don't know. So, of course, she didn't say anything for a long, long, long time. And, you know, at that point, it was too late. She was being harassed and bullied and ended up committing suicide.
This guy get caught?
He did get caught. He was tried in the Netherlands. He was doing this to many, many, many other girls and women. He was recently sentenced to like 10 years, 8 months, and then he's going to be extradited to Canada for Amanda's case.
Okay,
so
good.
Amanda's case hasn't yet been tried with him.
But he's first going to serve and then be extradited?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm glad.
I mean,
keep him in jail.
It really makes it tangible when you hear stories like that, because a lot of parents may not take it as seriously as they should.
That's right.
And they let their kids do things that they really should be on top of.
That's right.
And make sure that it doesn't occur.
Now, here's the flip side of it is when you have I have a friend who is a registered sex offender because he went out with a girl who lied to him about her age. The parents hated him and then said, we're going to get you. And now, I mean, he's a good man. He's a good guy, but he has to register. And what happens, how do you as a prosecutor, if you see that, and it's really like the girl looks like she's in her 20s, she might be 16, 17. What happens then?
That's a great question. I have had a couple cases like this, mostly as a defense attorney, and it was, it almost ruined my client's life.
Yeah.
You hope that prosecutors in that situation will use their discretion and allow for a degree of mitigation, because that's very important when you're dealing with people's lives and making a decision right. that could ruin them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel for your friend. That is, it happens.
And he's trying to change the law. He's like, what do I do? He's like, this is, right. I mean, this wasn't even... I don't even know if they even had sex.
Right.
It was literally just because right. he was seeing somebody who was younger.
Right. And it's strict liability because they are young girls.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
even if they look 20, it's strict liability if they are underage. And I do think that laws should be changed in that regard. I think there should be some element of knowledge. You know, yeah. did the suspect or defendant know that the person was underage?
And because, she even said it. She said she lied, but it didn't matter. They still, isn't that, that I, has to be like, shouldn't at that point the prosecutor say, okay, hold on a second.
Yeah. And I think they do. I think that the prosecutors in LA that I'm familiar with, they are very good at their job. They do use their discretion when it's appropriate. And for example, in that case I was talking about, you know, we got a pretty good deal for my client.
Yeah.
But all things
Lisa,
considered.
We only have a couple minutes. Talk about before you push send.
So that's the message that I want to send to teenagers, to really think before they push send on their phone, if they're thinking about sending a sext or even just, you know, sexy words to somebody, or certainly a photo or a video, that they stop and pause and think about it. Is this really a good idea? How could this be a bad idea before they do something like this? Because it is not a good idea.
And what about sext education with the parents?
So that is to educate parents that sexting is happening, what it is, how the kids are doing it, and, you know, talk about some of the disastrous consequences like we've talked about here on the show today.
Yeah.
Because if they don't know that it's happening, they can't be aware of the problem and help, you know, prevent their kids from going down this road.
How do people get in touch with you, or if people are interested in before you push send, sext education, what do you recommend to people who are listening now?
So I have a contact form on my website that I have specifically for this program. So that can be found at lisahoule.com.
H-O-U-L-E.
Correct. Yes. And there's a contact form on there to talk to me about scheduling me to come in to talk at a parent organization, a student meeting. I even do small groups, you know, whatever it is. Again, my goal is just to get the message out to whoever will listen. It's an important, important topic.
This needs to be taught in schools.
Oh,
there,
sure.
There needs to be somebody like every year coming in, not a class necessarily, but maybe, you know, with the auditorium.
Yes.
Have everybody come in and talk about this.
And I would be happy to be the one to come talk.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, it's interesting, and I really admire you for doing this, because here you are representing defendants in criminal actions, yet you are out there trying to make sure that these crimes don't take place in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's part of my job. I really do.
It's really, really great work. And all the best to you. Lisa Hule, I want to thank you so much for being with us today on Gervie's Law. It's really important stuff that you're doing.
Thank you, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it. Wow, what a show. At the beginning of the show, Carrie, I looked at you and I said,
do we have guests?
Do we have any guests? And we had two amazing guests.
Yes, amazing.
So it turned out really well. Check out our podcast at gervieslaw.com. That's gervieslaw.com. Facebook page, Instagram,
Twitter. Find us on Instagram. I take a lot of these pictures.
Yeah.
I don't want them, you know, being wasted.
And you can take some pictures now. We're going to just sign off, but we'll take some pictures. Lisa, very attractive. Carrie, very attractive.
Thank you.
And me, of course, always attractive.
Don't sext us.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.